10, verse 1, and I thought that our brother this morning was preaching my sermon. The scriptures that he mentioned is a scripture that God's laid on my heart. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And it's good to be here today to catch up with you folks. I trust that you're loving the Lord and serving the Lord and that you are enjoying Christianity. Listen, not enduring Christianity, enjoying it. Amen? Because we should. We've got a wonderful Savior. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. I like that. In the beginning, God. Because you put God in the beginning, the next word could follow. In the beginning, God created. I am glad that not every scientist is an atheist. A lot of scientists are not atheists. A lot of scientists are believers, and they actually believe the Bible. But a lot of scientists also are atheists. If I was an atheist today, I could not say, in the beginning, God. I would have to say to you, in the beginning, nothing. That's what they believe. In the beginning, there was nothing. I think it makes much more sense to say, in the beginning, God. Because if God's in the beginning, there can be creativity. But the scientists who are atheists say, in the beginning, nothing. And then there was a big bang, and everything came. That's what atheists say. They say, in the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing. There was nothing. Because if there was something, you've got to put God there. So an atheist does not believe in God. So an atheist says, in the beginning, there was nothing. And then there was a big bang. And all this came. That's stupid, isn't it? Don't you think so? Come on, join in with me. That's stupid. I'm not a scientist. In fact, I never went to university. I don't have letters behind my name. But I know that if there was nothing back then, there still would be nothing now. You can't make something out of nothing if it's nothing. I heard this other atheist scientist talking just a few weeks ago, and they're beginning to change their opinion. This is what they're saying now. We can't say in the beginning was nothing and then there was a big bang, because there's got to be something to make a bang. Is that right? So do you know what they're saying now? In the beginning there was nothing. Just space, nothing, but somehow space compressed and made the explosion. And I thought about that. If there's nothing, there is nothing to compress. You can compress gases and air, you could compress anything, but you can't compress nothing because there's nothing to compress. But that's what they're actually saying. Atheists are actually saying, in the beginning there was nothing. And it compressed and there was a big bang. Well, I'm so glad that I'm not an atheist. I am so glad that my intelligence tells me, in the beginning, God. Put God in the beginning and your life makes sense. Without God, there's no sense to anything. How many people here today could do with some sort of a miracle in their life? How many people here are in a position where they need a miracle? Anybody? Hands up. I want to see this. Oh, that's most of you. Good on you. Those of you who don't need a miracle, well, what's wrong with you? I think all of us need miracles in some way or other. In the beginning, put God in the beginning, and then creativity follows. Miracles follow. Put God in the beginning of everything you do. Put God in the beginning of your marriage, your relationships, your entertainment, your education. Put God in the beginning. In fact, the scriptures say it in another way, doesn't they? That we're to acknowledge God in all that we do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In everything you do, in everything that I do, let's acknowledge God. Let's put God first, because if we do, miracles will follow. You don't have a miracle if there's nothing. Come on. You don't have miracles if there's nothing. You have miracles when you put God first. And you know, God, as we've already heard, is a wonderful creator. He's a dynamic creator. He made it all. And when you start to think of what He has made, it gives you a little bit of an idea of how big God is. God is not a man. How many of you think that the earth is big? It is, isn't it? The earth on which we live is big. Well, do you know, our sun is much bigger. Our sun is a star, as we've already heard. Our sun is so big that you can fit, listen to this, you can fit into the sun 1.3 million Earths. Who thinks that's big? Now, when it comes to numbers, I'm not a mathematician, and I struggle with numbers. I can understand 100. I can understand 500. I can get my brain around 1,000. I can start to think of 10,000. But you know, I've never been able to get my brain around 1 million. I've never seen $1 million, but I can never get my brain around it. But not only do I not understand 1 million, I don't understand 1 billion. And then they talk about trillion. I can't get my mind. We've heard this morning about trillions of stars in the universe. Trillions. You can't get your mind around that. And the stars that are there are all suns. And you know our sun, as big as it is, you could put 1.3 million Earths in the sun. Our sun is just an average sun. In fact, some say it's rather a small sun. There are some suns, some stars, that if you was to bring it into our solar system and you was to put a star where our sun is now, the star would be there and it would reach us. That's how big some stars are. They are absolutely massive. Our own star, which we've just seen, is a huge piece of gas. It's not a solid, it's gas. Made up of 70% hydrogen. It's not a solid thing at all. But do you know how much energy the sun gives off? Listen to this. The sun gives off the equivalent in energy to 1 trillion megaton bombs every second. 1 trillion? I can't get my brain around 1 trillion. Every second it gives off the equivalent of 1 trillion megaton bombs. Can you get your mind around that? Because I can't. That's big. Come on. That's big. How many of you know that when it gets to 38 degrees, you put your air conditioning on? You know, for when we get to 38, we're hot. Is that right? You know, some are a lot hot at 25. But when it gets to 30s and 30, we're really hot. Do you know how hot the core of the sun is? 15 million degrees. Not 38. 15 million. You can't get your mind around that. And our star, our sun, is just an average one. Wow. I thought, God, how big is the universe? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we heard this morning, the heavens, when you're talking about them in the Bible, can mean the heavens where God is, that spiritual heaven, that spiritual dimension where God is, where the angels are. Or there's a physical dimension to heavens, that is our atmosphere around the earth, and then our solar system, the stars and the sun. That can be the heavens. In the beginning, God created the heavens first. And the earth, the heavens. Meaning, he created, before he did anything physical, he created spirit beings, angels. Do you know there are trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of angels? In the beginning, God created. If God has always been here, he's always been creating. Come on. I wouldn't put myself, man, the earth is big. The sun is big. The solar system, it is so big. We are so tiny at the side of it. Aren't you? You know, I look at these shows that we put on television, you know, how we're the best singers, the best dancers, the best cooks, and we sort of elevate man and put him on a pedestal, the best sportsmen, the best singers, the best entertainers. We put them on a pedestal as if they're big. How many of you know they're tiny little things? And I think to myself, if man is tiny, what about a flea? How big is a flea compared to it all? And I said to God once, why did you make us so small? You know, you're so, God, you are so big. You fill creation. You fill the universe. You fill space. Why are we so small? Why couldn't you have made us 100 kilometers tall? I probably haven't got a brain like mine, but I think like this. I think, why are we so, compared to God, we're tiny. And God said to me, John, you don't understand. If I made you 1,000 kilometers tall, you'd still be a speck of dust. No matter how big I made you, you'd still be a speck of dust compared with what I have done with who I am. But wow, that put me in my place. We're so small, we're so tiny, yet God cares so much for us. In the beginning, God created the spiritual heavens, the place where God is. Where is heaven? If I was to say to you today, right now, where is heaven? I would guarantee that most of you would go, come on, would you be honest? Come on, would you? I'll ask you then, where is heaven? You point. If I was in England and I asked them the same question, where would they point? They point up also. Wherever you go in the world and you ask people where is heaven, they point up. Up, up. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? I don't think heaven is a geographical location. I think heaven is a dimension. I think we step out of this dimension into the spirit dimension of heaven. I don't think it's a trillion, trillion, trillion light years away. I think it is a dimension away. And that's the creation that God made with all the angelic beings, angels, seraphims, archangels, cherubims. He's been creating and creating and creating until he came to one stage to do something different. In the beginning, God created the heavens, spiritual, the heavens, then physical, and the earth. Now notice what it says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and darkness was upon it. In other words, when we come to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it's not finished. It started to create it. It isn't finished. Then in 6 days, God starts to restore the earth to the beautiful place that it was. 6 days. And after each day, God steps back and says, it's good. God's doing something he's never done before. He's creating something physical, which he's never created. It's all been spirit before. Now God is doing something he's never done before. He is creating physical. And God loves what he's making. Because the Bible says God is a spirit. God is spirit. He's not physical. But God is making physical. Incredible. And God actually stands back and goes, wow, he's good. Then he makes the second day, it's good. And the third day, it's good. And the fourth day, it's good. And the fifth day, it's good. And the sixth day, it's very good. Because God put last on the earth, man. And God says, very good. How many of you people here are creative, like in drawing, painting, making things, and you've made something and you've liked what you've made and you've stood back and you thought, oh, that's good. Anybody ever thought like that? Why aren't you entering into this? Am I the only one here? Are you sitting? Has anybody thought themselves when you've made something, you've stood back and thought, I like that. Anybody? I do oil painting. I do landscapes and I think, wow, that's good. That's not pride. It's creativity. You make something and you stand back and you think, I like what I've done. Until I compare it with Leonardo da Vinci. And then I think I'm going to give up painting. But you know what I'm saying? And God did the same. He created. What he made, he was pleased with. He thought, man, this is good. That's chapter one. Just go on till you come to the sixth chapter, which is approximately 2,000 years later. And God says, I don't like it. I don't like what I've made in man. Why did I bother making him? Look what he's turned out to be. He's evil and wicked and violent. His heart is full of wickedness. And God says, I'm sorry that I made man. Wow. I've just done a painting, a portrait. I'm not into portraits, but I'm trying portraits. I've just done this portrait, copied off a picture. And then just last night, I'm looking at it and thinking, something's wrong. And I look at it, and it took me ages to do it. The eyes are too small. And I thought, I wish I'd never started this. When you get disappointed at what you've made, I want to just tell you, God looked down on the earth and he says, I'm going to destroy it. Look what they've turned out to be. But then the Bible says, God, Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of God. And that's why we're here today. Thank God for Noah. Thank God for Noah. Otherwise you wouldn't be here. Come on, you wouldn't. So, God created, and then God did not like what he created of how we've turned out to be. But you know, God has not finished creating. Do you know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17? If any man is in Christ, is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. God is still creating. Take a look at me, folks. Take a good look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You're looking at a new creation. Don't I look wonderful? No, I don't. Don't tell lies. You're looking at the outward appearance. When I look in the mirror, listen, I've been saved. I've been a Christian now for 61 years. 61 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. And I want to tell you, I am a new creation. Inside of here, there's a great looking guy. Inside of here, there's a new creation. Something that God is doing. But you see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. It was darkness on the face. God hadn't finished. And can I just say this to you today? God's not finished with you. Because sometimes you look in the mirror and you think, oh, God, what am I looking at? Oh, dear, I'm supposed to be a new creation. But you know what? Our physical isn't renewed. In fact, our physical appearance just seems to get older and older. And I've got bad news for you, young people here. One day you're going to look like us. If the Lord tarries long enough, you'll look like us. It happens. Old age is something that I've not really come to terms with. I don't like it. I don't want it. I'm going to tell Adam and Eve off when I get to heaven because of it. Because it was never meant to be. How many of you that are older, I'm talking to the older ones now, in your mind you feel as if you're still sort of in your 30s? And anybody like that? Yeah, look at these hands going up. Yeah, it's true. You feel like it. And the other day I was thinking about this. I thought, hang on, I'm 76. And sometimes I feel like I'm 30. But when I try to do something, I realize I'm not 30. Do you know? But in my mind, and then I suddenly realized something. Hang on a minute. Our spirit never ages. So that's why. What is it about you? See, as you get older, there's something that doesn't seem to get older inside. You still feel as if you're young. It's because your spirit, isn't it? Your spirit never grows old. Isn't that wonderful? And you've been born again, and your spirit is wonderful. You've been given a new life, a new lease of life from God through Jesus Christ. Listen, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Everybody say new creation. Oh, with a bit more gusto than that. Come on, a new creation. New creation. You've forgotten that you're a new creation, haven't you? That's your trouble. You've forgotten what God has done in you and he's doing through you. You know, every now and again, someone will come to me. Sometimes it's young people, sometimes it's older people, man or woman, doesn't matter. And say to me, Pastor, I really am not happy where I am spiritually. I really feel that I should be further down the track spiritually. Often people say that to me. John, from what I know, from what I've heard, from what I've read, I should be further down the track spiritually. And when they tell me that, I say to them, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I feel exactly the same. And people come to me downcast, really upset, saying, I should be spiritually further down that road than I am. And I say to these people, hang on a minute, I agree with you perhaps. I don't know you well, but looking at me, I know myself, and I should be spiritually further down the road. But you know what I do? I remind myself of how far God has brought me. I may not be where I would want to be, but I want to tell you, I'm not where I used to be. Come on, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. I've been born again, and I'm no longer in the clutches of Satan. I'm no longer under the bondage of sin. I am totally freed, totally forgiven, on my way to heaven. I may not be where I want to be, but I know how far I've come. Amen. 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 Come on, get excited. Some of you people are listening to me as if you're religious. Snap out of your religion and get into life. Religion kills. Now snap out of it and start to... I'm preaching life to you people this morning. And it must be God, because you add this verse. I add this verse. This must be God speaking to this church this morning. I thought he was going to preach my sermon. You're really in the beginning. God, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is God, Jesus, the Creator, in the beginning. And God is saying this to you. He's made you a new creation. And this time, we've been shaped after the image of Jesus. Adam and Eve failed, but we can never fail in our new creation because we've been shaped after the image of Jesus. So my body might be growing old. Yes, it is. There might come wrinkles. Yes, there might come aches and pains. Yes, they do. Do I like it? No. I said to Judy, I made a stupid mistake the other day. We're just getting out of the car. How many of you know that, when you young people don't know this, but when you get older and you've driven, to get out of a car, it's really hard. You're full of aches and pains. You know, your knees, and you get up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? Yes, thank you. Most of you don't want to admit it, but you do. You feel like, I said to Julie, I'm getting out of the car. And, oh, I said, Julie, there's an old man in this body. I said, hang on a minute. No, there's not. There's a young man in this old body. That's how it is. There's not an old man in this body. The old man's gone. Hallelujah. The old man's been put to death. There's a new resurrected man. I've had a resurrection right now. Spiritually, I am new. The body is getting old. The body is failing. The body is... And we have to look after our body, don't we? You know, if you look nice this morning... Let me have a look at you. If you look nice, most of you are looking all right. But you're doing that. Do you know why? Because you all went into the bathroom before you came to church. And you washed your face. And you put on all this stuff to make you look good. You combed your... Because you didn't get up looking like that. Come on, you didn't, did you? You are what you are because you put some effort into your body. Got nice clothes on. You've washed up pretty good, most of you. All of you. You've washed up pretty good. But you've done that. But you can't stop the body aging. you could spend thousands of dollars to have all these things done, to cut out these lines here, and you can do all that. It won't stop. It won't stop. You'll grow old, and one day, you'll go. But if Jesus doesn't return before that time, we'll go. Our bodies will return to dust. But one day, he'll resurrect that dust. But of course, he could come now. It's nearly 11:15. I'm going to be finished preaching by 11:30 at the latest. He could come while I'm preaching to you. And if he does, we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Not in a winking of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye we'll be changed. You can't measure the twinkling of an eye, it's so quick. We'll be changed. And if he was to come right now, you'd see me change. And you'd look at me and you'd go, wow, what a hunk. Wow, look at him. He's changed. And I look at you and I don't recognize most of you because you've changed so much. And that's a wonder of the new creation, the new body. He's not finished with us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty in darkness upon the face of the deep. So God went to work and brought about a beautiful creation. Well, he started on us. But he started first on our spirit. And he's working on our soul. And finally, it will be our body. And what a day that's going to be. Come on. No aches and pains. No need for Panadols. Come on, not ever. No need. No doctors in heaven. Do you know there's no doctors in heaven? Because you don't need them in heaven. We will be perfect. Perfect, the way God wanted us to be. But we're not there yet. We're not. And I don't know how long before Jesus comes or before we may die. I don't know. And I like the way the Apostle Paul speaks of Christians dying. He doesn't call it death. He said they've fallen asleep. I like that expression because, you see, we're not going to die because we've had a spiritual resurrection. You can't die. You just fall asleep. And then on the day when he returns, our bodies will be resurrected. Isn't that wonderful? We're not going to die. We can't. Death. You know, Jesus died for us so that we won't have to die. Do you know, we never will know what death is. The world will. Christians will never know what it is to die. We will fall asleep and wake up in the presence of Jesus. Come on, isn't that wonderful? People die, people are afraid of death. People fight death for all that they've got. But I tell you what, the best thing that can happen to us is that we fall asleep and wake up in the presence of the Lord. But until then, this is the hard bit. When I got saved at the age of 15. When I was just reached 16, I said to the Lord, seriously, I didn't know much of my Bible then. I was a slow learner. I got a mental problem with dyslexia, and I was not a good reader at all. In fact, I could hardly read when I left school. And I taught myself to read from reading the Bible. And I had the King James Version back in those days. I taught myself to read from the Bible. But about just less than a year after I got saved, I was 16, I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I'd like to go now. I'm ready to go to heaven now. Will you take me home? Will you take me to heaven now? I was 16. That's what I was saying to God. And do you know why I said that? Because I figured out at the age of 16, although I didn't know my Bible very well, I figured out it will be easier being a Christian in heaven than on earth. Am I right? It will be easier being a Christian with him than it is down here. Now, he didn't take me. That was 60 years ago when I asked that. I'm still asking it. I'm still. And you may say, oh, but Pastor John, 60 years. You've grown spiritually. You know your Bible now. I can hear you preaching scripture. You must be flying high. I want to tell you, it never gets any easier. No matter how old you get, you're still fighting a fight. You still got to. I didn't get to a stage where I thought, well, I don't need the armor of God anymore. I've arrived. No, I've got to put on God's armor, make sure I've got God's armor every day. No matter how old I get, there's no retirement from the army of God. Amen? None at all. We've got to fight the good fight of faith because the world, the flesh, and the devil are against us. The devil hates your guts. The devil can't stand you. The devil wants to bring into your heart unrest, unhappiness, depression, oppression. He wants to bring you to a place where you are not enjoying your life. So when people look at you, they think, what do I want to be a Christian like her for? Why do I want to be like him? They're miserable. If that's Christianity, keep it. That's how the devil wants to bring us to a place of that. But I determined years ago, devil, you ain't going to do that to me. Because I'm glad that I'm saved. I love my Jesus. And I'm going to keep on rejoicing in him no matter what I face in life. And I faced a few things. In 60 years, believe me, you're not preaching the gospel on the front line like I've been for all these years without facing a few trials, a few problems, a few difficulties. But you know, I refuse to let the devil get me to a place where all that people see is the old man. I don't want them to see the old man. I want people to see the new man. And how is that new man displayed? By the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we praise God, by our attitude to life displays the new person in you. Listen again. If any man, any woman, anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. When I pastored in Armadale, there was a girl who got saved. Lovely, lovely girl. She was 13 years of age. She got saved. And she went to school the next day so full of joy. And she said to a chaplain, the chaplain was in her school. She said to this chaplain, I'm so happy. He said, why? What has happened? She says, I became a Christian last night. I'm born again. I am so happy. And you know what he said to her? Something's wrong. Something is wrong if you're being happy like that. Because let me just tell you, Christians aren't happy. We face a lot of trials. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's what he said to her. And she came back really disillusioned. And she says, Pastor, I've got it wrong. Jesus was a man of sorrows. I shouldn't be full of happiness. I said, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I said, you go back to your chapel and just laugh in his face and tell him you're glad that you're a Christian. Amen. And I've heard it said, people have said to me, or not said to me, but have said to people when they get saved in our church, people often say, oh, because if you say, oh, I feel like I'm in a cloud. I feel like I'm on, you'll come down to earth. Don't worry, brother. You'll find out what reality really is. You'll come down. Don't come down. Stay up there. Because the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that? One guy said to me once, he says to me after I finished preaching, he says, you know, the problem with you, Pastor John, you've got your head in the clouds. I said, have I? I said, well, let me tell you this. I'd sooner have my head in the clouds than my face in the mud like you've got yours. Told him straight. Come on. We've been lifted in Jesus Christ. I'm not under the domain of this world. This world does not cause me to act the way it wants to. I will not let this world squeeze me into its mold. I will not let the devil terrify me and bring me into a place where I am bored, where I am depressed, oppressed, confused. I will not allow that to happen because I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Take a look at me. Come on. Have a good look. I'm a new man. I'm a happy man. I'm a happy little Vegemite because Jesus is my Savior. Now, some of you don't know me that well, but some of you have known me for quite a while. Every time you've seen me, have you ever seen me miserable preaching? Huh. I know some guys that come out on the platform. I heard one guy once. I was in a congregation. He came out. He said, well, let me just tell you. Are you listening to me? He said, I really don't feel like preaching this morning. I've had a lousy week. Everything's gone wrong. And I just don't feel like preaching. But I've got to do it, haven't I? So here we go. I thought, get off the platform if you feel like that. These people have got enough of their own problems. They don't want to hear yours as well. Come on, it's true. I was in a church once in Cornwall in England. We were on holiday, and this church must have gone through a split. And half the congregation had left and gone join another church. And we went to the Sunday morning service, and the pastor got up, and he was obviously really upset because the church had gone through a split. So do you know what he did? His sermon berated all the people that were there. I thought, you idiot. They're the ones that stayed. Come on, they're the ones that stayed. If you're going to tell somebody off, tell them that's gone. The ones that stayed need to be uplifted. Oh, we went out of that service. We went out feeling heavy. We was only visitors. I felt heavy. I said to Jim, we ain't going back there tonight. We're going to find another church. Friends, I'm telling you now, there's joy that Jesus wants us to show. There's joy that Jesus wants us to produce, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Nobody can shackle me against the joy and the peace and the love that I've got from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, come, Lord, give them a good dollop of joy right now. They feel like I could see, Lord, they just need it. Don't act out of religion. Act out of the life that Jesus has put within you. Amen. Start to enjoy. You've been forgiven. Do you know, if God did nothing else for you, if he did nothing else for you, he's done the best thing he can. He's forgiven you. And do you know what you deserve? To go to hell. Do you know what you deserve? You deserve to burn in hell for eternity. But you're not going to, because he's forgiven you. Don't you think that's good? But trouble is, we become so self-righteous that we think, you know, God, you know, I'm here, God. If you want me, come and get me. You're going to be blessed when you get hold of me. Friends, it's not like that at all. It's God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Do you remember when Jesus told the story of the two men that went into the temple to pray? One man stood at one side. He said, oh, God, oh, thank you. I'm not like him. Not like him. I go to church regularly. I pray regularly. I tithe. And he was telling God just how good he was. The other guy stood over here. He came. He said, oh, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, the prayers who God heard that day were his prayers. The self-righteous guy got nothing. Now, we're not going to be self-righteous, but we are righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, which means that righteousness is a gift. So don't get big-headed. Just accept the gift of God of righteousness and rejoice in the gift that you have got. Amen. I'm teaching a Bible study in a church at the moment. I'm going through the book of Revelation. I've gone through the book of Revelation with them over several weeks. And today I'm dealing with, and I'm finishing with this, I'm dealing with the last two chapters. I'm dealing with the new heaven and the new earth. See, not only is God making you into a new person, he's making you into a new person that's going to fit into his new heaven and his new earth. Everything that we know is going to be renewed. The whole world's waiting for it. Come on. The world is waiting for the creation to come. The new creation. For the sons of God to be manifest. That's what Paul tells us in Romans 8. The world is tired. I'm talking about the physical world. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about nations. I'm talking about the physical world is tired of what man is doing to it. How it's raping it. Ravaging it. Destroying it. And he's waiting for, well, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And in that same chapter, chapter 21, it says, and God's going to wipe away all their tears. There'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, for the former things have passed away. Glory. That's going to happen. We're going to be in a place of eternal bliss with Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, don't be careful. Get happy in Jesus. Don't camp by a question mark or a disappointment. And you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. There's things happen in our life that can disturb us and can hinder us. Things can go that we don't know the answers for, so we camp by it. Let me tell you what I meant. When I was in my early 20s, my sister died of a tumor on the brain. She was one of my oldest sister, actually, and I loved her very, very much. I'd led her to the Lord, but she got a tumor. She got two beautiful little daughters. She died at the age of 32. leaving two little girls. I saw her for 5 years suffer with this tumor right on the front of the brain. They cut it off, but couldn't get the roots. Put a steel plate in the front of her head there because it was an operation many years ago, of course, not like it is today. But they couldn't get it. And they said, it will come back. And within 3 years, it grew back. And I saw her bang her head against the wall in such agonizing pain before she died. And she died. The night in which she died, I want to tell you, it shocked me. I've been praying for her healing. Our church has been praying for her healing. I got a big question mark. I went outside the house, looked into the heavens. I said, God, why has this happened? Why has this happened? And I was angry with God. I thought, if you answer prayer, why didn't you answer this prayer? So as a young man, just got married, we got a child, I was angry with God. And I felt like, God, I don't want to go on. But I did drag myself along for a few more days, went to the funeral. And then about a week after the funeral, I was reading the scripture in Revelation. God will wipe away all tears, there'll be no more pain or suffering. And God spoke to me, said, John, let me just tell you right now where your sister is. She's in a better place than what you are. She will never get a tumor again. She will never suffer again. She will never be in pain again. She is at peace with me. So he says to me, get up and start walking onward. Stop camping by a disappointment or something you don't understand. You see, I believe that healing does belong to us. And I believe God wants to heal us. So why my sister died, to this day, I don't have the answer. But God gave me another scripture. And the scripture was, and we know that in all things, God works for good to those who love him. Now, I can't work out how my sister's death can work to my good. But I hold to that scripture. By faith, I believe that scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I hang on to it. Because I was going to camp by this disappointment. I was going to camp by this question mark. And I would never become a preacher. I would never become a pastor. I may have just gone through life miserable. But I refused to camp by a question mark or a disappointment. And there's been a lot more than that, I want to tell you. Many times it's been possible for me to stop and question what is happening and say, God, unless this gets sorted out, I'm not going on. But I've learned, no, I'm not going to do that. There are many question marks, many disappointments. I will not camp by it. I'm going to go on in God regardless. Do I know the answers to everything? No, I don't. But I'm telling you, I'm going to keep on rejoicing in the Lord and believing that all things work together for good, listen, to them who love God. So all the things that are happening in your life, God is able, if you love him, to turn it around for your good. He's able to do that. So I'm saying to you today, he's not finished with you yet. Don't you camp by a question mark. Don't you stop by a disappointment. Don't you say, well, there's too many confusing thoughts. Stop it. God's not finished with you yet. He's still working on you. He's working on your spirit. He's working on your soul. And one day your body will be renewed. But right now, stop camping by disappointments. Go on with God. And go on with God in joy and in peace. Amen. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't become religious. Don't look at the world around you. And don't look at other church people and think, look how miserable they are. I'll be like them. Stop it. Start saying this. I'm going to set an example. I'm going to be happy in Jesus. I'm going to keep praising Jesus no matter what. I don't care what has happened. And let me just tell you this. Nobody would have had as much persecution as the Apostle Paul. Come on. But he talked about the great joy that he had. And it was Apostle Paul who says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he wrote that from prison. He wrote that while he was in prison. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Because keep your faith on the goal. And the goal is Jesus. Amen. Now I reckon that was a pretty good sermon. Don't you? I think it was. It did me a lot of good. I needed it. Every now and again, I really need to cheer myself up to get going. Because I'm as human as anybody else. But I'm telling you, when you leave this place, determine not to camp by disappointment. Could have been a marriage breakup. Could be kids going astray. Could be physical sickness in your body. Could be financial problems. Don't camp there. Don't say, well, if God doesn't sort this out, I'm not going on. Don't do that. Go on with God, irrespective of what is happening around you. Don't you think that's good advice? No, obviously you don't, because you're not nodding with that. I'll say it again. Don't camp by your disappointments or your doubts. Don't camp by those things that confuse you. Say, God, in spite of all this, I'm going to go on with you, because in the beginning, God, I'm going to keep putting you in the beginning of my life. So creativity will follow. And I'm holding to that scripture that all things work together for good to them that love God. Just close your eyes, bow your head.